ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Food.
Italian food has, of course, a very special place in the hearts of most Australians. Because it's delicious, mainly, but then there's the heritage as well. I mean, part of the allure is, well, it's not just the taste, but also, I suppose, the associated iconography, the images of rolling vineyard-covered hills leading to a tiny rustic kitchen where an Italian nonna works happily away on delicious, hearty meals for the family, even if that's not what really happens so much these days. But for Melanie Leonello, it was, by her own admission, an inspiration for her to get into food in a serious way because, well, she is serious. She's not only a cook but also a nutritionist, and she lectures at La Trobe University as well. And she's gone back to the basics, though, with her latest book, Easy Italian Dinners from My Little Kitchen, with a focus on rustic-style food made with everyday ingredients rather than fine dining. Melanie, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hello, good evening.
This is the great thing about Italian food, isn't it? It's not like French food. It's not fussy, high-end stuff. It's got high-end flavour and taste, but it's relatively simple to get into, isn't it?
It really is. It uses time more than technique, I would say, to bring those flavours.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the Italian nonna cooking. was this your background?
Yes, absolutely. My nonna still cooks all day long in the kitchen. Very, very normal part of my life.
And your lot's from where?
So the region of Veneto, which is in the northeast of Italy.
Oh, okay. Because this is it's important in Italian cooking too, isn't it?
Yes.
Because, you know, everyone thinks that all Italians eat pizza and pasta, but they don't.
No, they don't. Pizza's not really a thing my family or in that part of Italy.
Or in that part of Italy, actually, at all, is it?
No. Not at all.
No.
More of Naples and below.
People are often surprised at this. They think, you know, oh, well, I thought it was an Italian dish. Well, it is.
It is, but it's a big country too.
And it's best to find, it's best thought about in its regions in a way, isn't it?
I think so. They're very, they identify very uniquely from one another.
Yeah, exactly. Same with pasta, actually, for that for that matter too. Everyone eats pasta. Well, yeah.
Kind of. In different ways.
In different ways, yeah. And so that's it. If you're in Florence, for example, we were a couple of years ago, I remember, you know, the big thing there is eating steaks.
Yeah, the Florentine steak, what a classic.
Yeah. You talk about cucina povera or peasant-style cooking. What's that?
So it's basically the foundation of a lot of regions cooking in Italy, where it focuses on seasonal ingredients that are cheap, quick, easy to either access or grow themselves. And they're normally products like, you know, potatoes, onions, carrots, things that actually have a bit of a shelf life on them, even though they're fresh ingredients. So if you keep them in cold storage, they'll last forever. And it's sort of born out of a place of necessity, you know, in sort of post-war Italy needing to make up, you know, something, a meal with every single thing that you've got so that you don't waste anything because, you know, money, food is scarce. Mm. And so that's the basis of the book, is using ingredients that are really easy to access for most people in most places so that they can have good, nutritious food without breaking the bank.
Mm. Yeah, this is the thing I've often thought with Italian cooking, that a lot of it is about technique's important because you know, there's a wonderful dish you can cook with finely shaved zucchini, for example, which you could easily make a mess of, but it's delicious if you cook it properly. But there's almost nothing else in it other than that. And that's the point about it, isn't it? You've got to do it correctly.
Yeah, it really has a focus on just a handful of ingredients, sort of given the space and the time for them to shine rather than overshadowing them with heaps of herbs and spices. You sort of choose your one hero ingredient and, you know, prepare it a particular way so that it can be its best.
Mm. Yeah, people try and carry on about restaurant quality meals at home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a difference between restaurant quality and home cooked food? I always used to think, yes, there is. It's the addition of about 200 grams more butter.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably, and a few more chefs in the kitchen, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, tell me about your book. There's an old saying that because your book's, you know, subtitled Wholesome, Fast and Low Cost Recipes. And there's an old saying about how you can have things fast or cheap or good, but you have to pick two.
Yeah, I know that saying. And I like to think that my experience as a nutritionist and working, you know, at a university, seeing sort of the public health side of food or the nutrition outcomes, I'm trying to solve as many problems for as many people as possible with this book, so you don't have to choose two of those things. You can have them all at once with perhaps just a little bit of thinking ahead, or perhaps batch cooking, or maybe just, you know, collecting a whole bunch of ingredients at the one time rather than going back and forth to the supermarket all the time, which, you know, I'm guilty of as well.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of listeners also might think of Italian meals as being quite tasty, yes, but also quite fattening.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Is that true?
No, it's not. It's a bit of a misconception. You know, I think kind of with the same brush that we, you know, sort of cover all of Italian cuisine with being pizza and pasta, it's not, you know, high in saturated fats or anything, because our star of the show in Italian and a lot of Mediterranean cooking is extra virgin olive oil, which is a heart-healthy fat, so high in unsaturated fats. So it is very good for us and makes up the basis of the Mediterranean diet, which is one of the most studied ways of eating throughout the world, and makes up, you know, one of the blue zone diets, which I know has had a moment on TV shows and things like that at the moment.
Yes, it's true. We're big fans of the Mediterranean diet here on Nightlife, because
yes,
We talked with Luigi Fontana, our nutritionist and longevity expert, and he's very keen on the Mediterranean diet.
Yes,
and at its heart, in essence, this is what a lot of Italian food is about, isn't it? Particularly its vegetables.
Yeah, it is. It's vegetables and legumes, really.
Legumes.
That's one of the key sources of protein. And also with legumes, you know, that you don't get from animal-based protein, like, you know, with meat and chicken and poultry, pork, those sorts of things. You don't get the fiber with the protein when you choose those options either. So it really does highlight those sort of cheap and easy ingredients that do have that shelf stability. You know, you can buy a can of cannellini beans and they can sit in your cupboard forever and they will never go bad.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah, yep.
You should have, I mean, people have cans of tomatoes in their cupboard. You should have cans of beans as well.
I think so.
Cans of chickpeas?
Yes, yeah, all beans, all chickpeas, lentils, go for it. They all make up a great base for your diet.
Mm. I'm with academic and cook and author Melanie Leonello. She's written a wonderful book which has got heaps of great recipes in it, called Easy Italian Dinners from my Little Kitchen. How little is it?
Well, it's a bit bigger now, but when I first started cooking and sharing, you know, my recipes on social media, it was tiny. I think I had about maybe 900 millimetres of bench space, and it was a tiled bench, so you couldn't knead anything on it. It would pick up the grout if you ever did. So it was very tiny.
Yeah, speaking of technique, I mean, risotto, I think, is a classic case, isn't it?
Yes.
Of something that a lot of people just make a mess of because they...
It's easy to do.
It is, yeah, but it's also easy to cook it well, I think, isn't it? Because it's almost all about technique, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have... And maybe this is, you know, a bit of privilege coming from, you know, an Italian family, sort of being told to stand at the stove from a young age, you know,
and
just
keep stirring.
I don't find it difficult to make, but I know that it's a challenge for a lot of people because, you know, we're pulled in all different directions at dinner time. So it does take a bit of technique, but once you get the knack for it, it's easy. However, if you're just starting out, in the book, I've got a cheats risotto recipe.
Oh, yeah. How do you cheat?
So you can cheat by using orzo or rizzoni instead of rice. So that can get you sort of familiar with the flavor building process. And then if you want to move on to the next level up before you hit a risotto, there's a recipe in there that's like a quintessential Venetian recipe called Risi e Bisi, and it's rice and peas, and it's essentially a very loose risotto. It's more of a soup than a risotto, so that kind of gets you your next step up into learning how to do the technique, and the method sort of steps you through that very simply. And then when you're ready for a risotto, there's one of those in there as well.
Yeah, it's but that's right. You can't leave the pan.
No, you can't. It's I treat it like a full-time job when I'm making risotto.
It's going to take you 20 minutes or half an hour.
Oh, my gosh. And if you're cooking for more than two, then probably a little bit longer.
Yeah. But you've got to stay there.
You do.
Stay there and stir.
Yeah.
You've chosen a recipe to share with our listeners, a tomato and goat's cheese crostata.
Yes.
Tell me about what's a crostata?
So a crostata is really just a fancy word for a very rustic sort of tart or pie. Mm-hmm. You can have them sweet or savoury. Very, very popular to find in pasticceria in Italy, so pastry shops. And this one I love because I'm somebody who, you know, is busy throughout the week. I do forget to go grocery shopping when I should, and then I leave it too late and I've forgotten ingredients. And I'm not someone who just keeps a block of butter in the fridge. I know a lot of people do, but I don't eat through it fast enough. So I thought, how can I make a crostata that tastes just like I know it should taste, but without me needing to think 10 steps ahead and have the butter in the fridge at all times? So I created an olive oil dough, and it's only three ingredients. So it's just extra virgin olive oil, flour, and a splash of water. And that is your dough mixture. And it takes maybe 60 seconds to mix together, roll it out, fill it, roughly put it all together in the sides. Very rustic, doesn't have to be beautiful. Pop it in the oven. 30 minutes later, it's done.
Hey. We'll put this recipe up on our website for listeners. You said you were from Veneto, or your family are from Veneto. So Veneto, well, they've gifted the world many, many things.
They have.
But chief among them would be tiramisu.
Yes.
Because the original tiramisu, I think, comes from a little town called Treviso, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
In Veneto.
Yep.
And it's not that old a recipe, actually.
But in terms of the restaurant that claims to have created it.
With some justification.
Yeah.
That's right. But it is. But you've got. I see you've got a recipe for that in here too.
Yes, I do. So it's a recipe that a lot of different, you know, Trevisani or Venetian families have made for a really long time, even before, you know, the restaurant sort of put its claim to fame on it. Because the ingredients in it, so the mascarpone cheese and the eggs and coffee, are key staples throughout that region of Italy because it's very pastoral. It's the dairy belt of Italy, so it has all of those sort of ingredients, you know, at hand, ready to go. So it's something that I've grown up with, and I am a self-confessed tiramisu snob because once you've had it the way it's meant to be, it's very hard to go back.
I agree. Keep it simple to the classic ingredients.
Don't muck around.
Don't muck around and put extra stuff in it. It'll just muck it up. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Terrific to meet you, Melanie, and good luck with the book. We'll put that recipe for your tomato and goat's cheese crostata up on our website, and yes, happy eating.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.